Shalom and welcome to Sem Torah for Parshat Re'eh. Parshat Re'eh, of course, as a part of the larger Sefer Devarim, is part of a handful of speeches said by Moshe Rabbeinu in the last days of his life, preparing Bnei Yisrael to do something that he was never able to do. Of course, that means going into Eretz Yisrael. And the entire Sefer Devarim is Bnei Yisrael getting ready to enter Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe preparing them to enter Eretz Yisrael. Parshat Re'eh, as I said, is part of that longer speech, longer handful of speeches. And in the very beginning of our Parsha, we hear a warning to Bnei Yisrael that soon, of course, when they enter Eretz Yisrael, they are going to have to begin bringing korbanot to Yerushalayim. And they're no longer going to be able to bring korbanot in their backyard, so to speak. You'll take a look at the beginning of the Parsha in Perek Yud Aleph. We'll begin with Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hishamer lecha, says Moshe. Pen ta'ale olotecha b'chol makom asher tireh. Be careful, you can't bring your korbanot to anywhere you want. Next pasuk yedalet ki'im b'makom asher yivchar Hashem be'achad shvatecha sham ta'ale olotecha v'sham ta'aseh kol asher anochi mitzaveka. You can only bring your korbanot in that place that I am going to pick, or literally, asher yivchar Hashem, into the place that Hashem is going to pick in one of your shvatim locations. Now, what's interesting here is the term that the Torah uses here and in many other places in the Chumash to describe Yerushalayim, to describe the Mikdash, Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. In fact, in our Perek alone, in Parshat Re'eh, Perek Yud Aleph alone, that expression repeats itself over and over and over again. Pasuk Hey, Ki'im el ha-makom asher yivchar Hashem elokeichem. Pasuk Yud Aleph, we just said, V'haya ha-makom asher yivchar Hashem elokeichem. Pasuk Yud Dalet, as we just said, Ki'im ba-makom asher yivchar Hashem. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Ki'irchak mimcha ha-makom asher yivchar Hashem. Pasuk Chaf Vav, Rak kadashecha asher yihiyu lecha underecha tisa uvata el ha-makom asher yivchar Hashem. Etc., etc. This expression of HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem appears 18 places in the Chumash. HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place that Hashem will choose. And it's very curious, it's very interesting, we have to ask the question, why does the Torah here, and as I said, many other places, not tell us exactly where the Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be built? There's a certain vagueness, HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, and that's of course not to mention all the other places in the Chumash and in Tanakh where Hashem describes it also, El Haaretz, or go to the Akedah that Avraham is told, bring your son to the place that I will show you. What's going on here? And everyone knew where it was. Everyone knew. So why does the Torah, why does Hashem choose to use this expression HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem and not specify more clearly? The Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim in the third Chelek, chapter 45, the Rambam, third Chelek 45, gives us three answers to this very question. Three answers as to why the Torah, why Hashem chose to use the words HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem and not specify specifically. Let's look at those three reasons. I'm going to be reading from the English translation of the Rambam, translated by Dr. Friedlander in his classic, classic translation from 1904. For three practical reasons, the name of the place is not distinctly stated in the law, but indicated in the phrase, to the place which the Lord will choose. First answer of the Rambam. If the nations had learned that this place was to be the center of the highest religious truths, they would occupy it or fight about it most perseveringly. Answer number one, says the Rambam, we have to keep somewhat the value of Yerushalayim a little bit diminished. Says the Rambam, if the nations of the world had any idea about, or any full idea, how valuable Yerushalayim was, how much it would be the center of all religious truths, the words of the Rambam, then they would fight over it. This is an interesting answer. I mean, we do see that this little patch of land, Israel, and this little city called Jerusalem, is the source, unfortunately, of so much interest among Jews and non-Jews alike. That's a different discussion for a different time. But the Rambam says, to some degree, Hashem tried, so to speak, to minimize that desire. Answer number two, says the Rambam. Secondly, those who were then in possession of it might destroy and ruin the place with all their might. Says the Rambam, a second answer, that when the Torah was given and Bnei Yisrael were going through the desert, and perhaps afterwards, Hashem had to, so to speak, minimize its location, because if he had expressed clearly which area we're talking about, even though all the Jews knew where it was, Avram knew where to go, and Moshe knew where to go, still, the people who were there, the Yevusim at the time, let's say, or even afterwards, whoever was in charge of Yerushalayim throughout history, would not only want to occupy it, but would want to destroy it, and would destroy it. And we see how devastatingly Yerushalayim has experienced history over time. And thirdly, says the Rambam, a third answer. This is the Rambam's words. Thirdly and chiefly, every one of the 12 Shvatim would desire to have this place in its borders and under its control. This would lead to divisions and discord, such as were caused by the desire for the priesthood. Therefore, says the Rambam, it was commanded that the temple should not be built before the election of a king who would order its erection and thus remove the cause of discord. Says the Rambam, and he says this is the main reason, it would cause a civil war. If Hashem said throughout the Torah, if Hashem said throughout the 40 years of the desert, not to mention the 14 years of conquering Eretz Canaan and distributing it, if Hashem kept saying Yerushalayim is the most important place, Yerushalayim is the most important place, it would cause strife. Every one of the 12 Shvatim would say, it should be with me, it should be with me, it should be with me, and it would cause a huge machloket. Says the Rambam, therefore, Hashem waited, as it were, and he waited for a king to come, a powerful king, that of course we know is going to be David HaMelech, who would order its building, the construction, its erection, and then that's it. Once there's a general appointment of a king, the king would be appointed, and before the building of the Beit HaMikdash, then the location of the Beit HaMikdash would be determined by a strong central government, and that would avoid the internal machloket. Three powerful reasons as to why Hashem had to, so to speak, to some degree, hide the location of the Mikdash. This leads us to another really, really fascinating point and a fundamental machloket. This idea, the idea of Hashem not specifying where the Mikdash should be, really leads us also to a fascinating message. The Gemara in Masechet Zvachim, in Daf Nun Dalet Amud Bet, Masechet Zvachim Nun Dalet Amud Bet, tells us that David HaMelech and Shmuel were not entirely sure exactly where the Beit HaMikdash should stand. And as a matter of fact, they had a machloket. They had a machloket with Doeg HaAdomi. If you remember, Doeg HaAdomi from Shmuel Aleph in Perek Chaf Aleph and Perek Chaf Bet. If you recall, it was Doeg HaAdomi when David was running away from Shaul, he goes to a city called Nov, and there the Kohen Achimelech feeds David, supports David and his soldiers, and then it was Doeg who finally told Shaul that Achimelech the Kohen and Nov the city defended or supported David. And if you recall, it was Doeg who had all these all the Kohanim of Nov except for one murdered, mamish murdered in cold blood. It is important to know that Chazal in many places. Now is not the time to discuss it. You should know that Doeg HaAdomi, and it's important for our next discussion, Doeg HaAdomi was viewed as an extraordinary Talmud Chacham, and head of the Beit Din for David HaMelech. But something turned and made Doeg into the Rasha that he became. What is that something? The Gemara, this exact Gemara in Masechet Zvachim Nundal Amud Bet tells us. Incredible. Anyway, so we go back. So the Gemara tells us that that David and Shmuel didn't know where to build the Beit HaMikdash. And so they started looking in the Psukim. So first of all, they look in Parshat Shoftim. And Parshat Shoftim says, V'kamta v'yalita el ha-makom. El ha-makom asher yivchar Hashem. Here we go. You've got to go up. You got to get up and go up. So said David and Shmuel, oh, the Beit HaMikdash has to be the highest point in the whole land. The Gemara continues. And then they said, wait a second. Then they looked at, say, for Yehoshua. And what was interesting is that all of the Shvatim, when the Sefer Yehoshua gives the boundaries of all the Shvatim, said David and Shmuel, all the other Shvatim you have expressions of the land went up and the land went down and the land stayed the same. However, when it came to Shevet Binyamin, it only says you go up, up, up. It never said going down. And so they said, ah, we've got the place. We've got the place. We know exactly where the Beit HaMikdash should be built. The Beit HaMikdash said, David and Shmuel, at first, it should be built in a place called Ein Etam, with a mem at the end. Ein Etam. Very briefly, Ein Etam is a spring. It's the highest point. It's a spring. It's located between Yerushalayim and Hebron. If you remember when you're driving in Yerushalayim, if you ever remember, you're heading south towards Efrat and Alon Shvutz, and if you keep going, you'll hit Hebron. Anyway, that's called south. That's going south. Anyway, there is a spring called Ein Etam before you get to Hebron, and before you get to Alon Shvutz, and before you get to Efrat. It's right next to Beit Lechem. It's about 3 kilometers southwest of Beit Lechem. Anyway, it's a place called Ein Etam. It is located, says the Gemara, 23 amot higher than the floor of the Beit HaMikdash. And there was a huge, a 20-plus kilometer aqueduct system. A 20-kilometer aqueduct system that was set up from Ein Etam all the way to the Beit HaMikdash. And I'm saying this because it's fascinating that very recently, in May 2015, part of that aqueduct was discovered. It's incredible the times that we're living in right now. Discovered just now, May 2015. Anyway, and that was the way water was brought to the Beit HaMikdash for the Kohen Gadol to dip in the mikveh on Yom Kippur. It was the highest point of the Mikdash. It was on a second floor. That's where David and Shmuel originally said the Beit HaMikdash should be built. It's an obvious choice. As we said, it's the highest point. Of course, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built on the highest point. So they thought it was going to be built there. And then David and Shmuel looked a little further and they said, wait a second, not exactly. Because we also know that the Torah tells us in Vizot HaBracha that the Makom HaMikdash Bein Ktefav Shachen. It comes from Vizot HaBracha Lamed Gimel Yud Bet. Bein Ktefav Shachen. That the Beit HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKadashim, has to dwell between the shoulders. You think about high shoulders and a low neck. That's where the Beit HaMikdash has to be. A little bit lower. So we need to find a place, said David and said Shmuel, that's high, but a little bit lower, surrounded by mountains. And where did they find? The Makom HaMikdash that you and I know today, Har HaMoriah, Makom HaMikdash, that's where Adam HaRishon brought a Korban, and Noach brought a Korban, and all the Avot, Avram did the Akedah, v'chule. And that was the Gemara in Zvachim Nundal Amud Bet. Originally, they thought, David and Shmuel thought it should be built on the highest point, Ein Etam, And only afterwards did they realize that it shouldn't be there, it should be in Yerushalayim where you and I know it today. That's the Gemara, but the Gemara continues. The Gemara continues and said, this was the point of machloket between David and Doeg. This was the point. The Gemara's exact language is, V'al davar zeh nitkaneh Doeg ha'adomi b'David. And it was on this very point that David got jealous of, I'm sorry, that Doeg ha'adomi got jealous of David. This was his downfall. This was his downfall. Doeg ha'adomi said, the mikdash should be in Ein Etam, the high point over there by Beit Lechem, and David and Shmuel said, no, it should be a little bit lower where the Mikdash is. You know, when you go to the Kotel today, when you go to the Makom HaMikdash today, you know, you can see that there are hills a little bit higher. Mount Scopus is a little bit higher. Har HaMishcha, where the Parah Aduma was shechted, a little bit higher. You see that there is hills a little bit higher. But this was it. This was the point of contention. Doeg HaAdomi, the extraordinary Talmud Chacham, where the Medrash says that whenever he spoke to people, he was so brilliant that people blushed, says the Medrash in Medrash Tehillim. And David HaMelech also, not for now, David HaMelech wrote Mizmorim and Tehillim about the pain, the challenge of finding the Mikdash. And this was the point of contention. Doeg said it should be built in Ein Etam. David said it should be built in Yerushalayim. And that was the Machloket, and that is what turned Doeg to become the Rasha that he became. What is this Machloket about? What is going on? What is this Machloket about? Why are they fighting? So, and with this we'll end. Rav Kook, there's a sefer called Pninei HaRe'aya, the gems or the jewels of the Re'aya of Rav Kook. It's actually compiled by a Rav named Rav Moshe Yechiel Tzuriel. Rav Moshe Tzuriel is the former, still alive today, Baruch Hashem, living in Bnei Brak. He is the former mashgiach of Yeshivat Shalavim. When I was there, and when many other people were there, he was there, he was the mashgiach, and he wrote many Sfarim, and he also wrote many Sfarim on Rav Kook, and he wrote this sefer that compiles ideas of Rav Kook called Pninei HaRe'aya. This idea is found in Parshat B'Ha'alotcha, page 273 and 274. Says Rav Kook, what is the point of machloket between Doeg HaAdomi and David HaMelech? Says Rav Kook, I won't read it inside, just a couple points of it. Says Rav Kook, Doeg HaAdomi and David had a major machloket. Doeg said that kedushat hamikdash elyona biyoter vehamon bnei adam einam yecholim lahagia elav. He says the kedushat hamikdash, the sanctity of the mikdash, is the highest, and most people, said Doeg HaAdomi, will not be able to achieve it. Getting to these high points are only for Kohanim. They're only for unique people. This is Doeg HaAdomi, the brilliant Doeg, the Av Beit Din Doeg, the elite. Only the elite get there. So you've got to put the Mikdash. Obviously the Mikdash is going to be in Ein Etam. It's the highest point. It has to signify that nobody can get there. Nobody can get there. Few people who climb their way up the ladder of scholarship, Talmidei Chachamim, only a few, Kohanim, the holiest of the holiest of the holies. But said Rav Kook, David HaMelech felt opposite. Ilu da'ato shel David, shehakedusha tzricha lihiyot nachalat kol ha'am. It is true that the Kohen inspires. It is true that the Kohen Gadol represents the highest level of spirituality. But the truth of the matter is, we are all called a mamlechet kohanim. We are all, to some degree, kohanim. Doesn't matter if your father is Yisrael, you're a kohen on that level, that each of us has the potential to reach the mikdash. Each one of us. It's high, but it's not the highest and the highest. You can all get there. And says Rav Kook, yesoda shel torahu, Shehi petucha lifnei kulam, yesh lekulam gishala. Hilo bilvad Avur kat shel nivcharim. It's not just the Torah says David HaMelech. One of the fundamental pieces of the Torah is that it's open to all. Everyone can approach the Torah. Everyone can achieve the Torah. It's not just for certain sects, certain set off people. It is for everyone. The entire Sefer Vayikra is about korbanot. Most of us, even when the Mikdash is built today, most of us are not going to bring korbanot. I'm never going to bring, in other words, do the avoda in the Mikdash. I never will. I won't and my children won't. Not because the Mikdash won't be built, God forbid. It will be built today. But I'm not a Kohen. But that doesn't matter. Each of us has the potential to learn Torah and to reach the Kedusha of the Mikdash. Doeg HaAdomi didn't accept that. Doeg HaAdomi fought tooth and nail to the point that he brought him to murder who? A city of Kohanim. Doeg HaAdomi murdered Kohanim. Because Doeg said, no, only Kohanim, only there on that high level. And to the point where he literally turned it around completely and said, nobody's holy. If this is not true, then nobody is. There's nobody who's holy. It's an incredible, incredible message that we can learn all the way from Bamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. Everyone, according to what we believe, according to what David believes and Shmuel believes, and everyone believes, except for Doeg, is that every time we daven, every time we go to the Mikdash, every time we learn, we have to realize that there is, it's approachable. It's in a mountain, don't get me wrong. We know that the Mikdash is called a har, it's called a mountain. You can listen to previous Sem Torahs about that, of course. But it's a har. But everybody can climb it. It's not the highest of the highest of the highest. It's not the Mount Everest. Put the Mikdash on Mount Everest, would say Doeg HaAdomi. No. It's high. But it's Bein Ktefav Shachin. May we all be Zoche, number one, to realize that we have a Gisha, we have an approachability to the Torah, and may we all be Zoche to actually accomplish it. And so we will climb, Emir Tzashem, B'meheir Rav Yameinu, up into the mountain of the Beit HaMikdash. Shabbat Shalom.